So we're picking up the story of Jessica. 2 weeks ago, her life was dramatically changed. Fictitious character, Jessica. As she wakes up one morning, realizes she doesn't know where she is, and in a moment of kind of stunning self-awareness goes, I've got a drug problem. And so, almost by instinct, she goes to the first church she can find, and lo and behold, she runs into an older woman there, Erica, who it's one of her first days at the church and helping out at the church, and she asks Erica to pray for her, and as Erica prays for her, Jessica realizes in herself the thing that she had been longing for her whole life, though she had never found the words for it before, the thing that was the hole in her heart was God. And as Erica is praying over her, she decides to commit her life to Christ. And so later that day, she just in her own quiet place, she just says, Jesus, I need you to take control of my life. I thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. I trust you with my life. In the days that followed, she made some pretty bold steps of obedience. For example, she broke up with her boyfriend, the same boyfriend that had given her the drugs that got her passed out in the first place. And it wasn't because she didn't love him. It's actually because she did. She just realized that if she stuck in this relationship with him where he was, that she was going to end up in the same place that her family had ended up in, the world of drugs. And she just couldn't go there. So she broke up. He didn't like it very much, but she did that. And she started to forge a new life for herself. Fortunately, the church that she had stumbled into was a really great church. They were really quite supportive. They helped her find a place where she could live, where there weren't drugs around, just a safe house. Where and Erica, the same woman, went with her to drug counseling, and she started to get to the root of some of the issues that had actually moved her into drugs for relief in the first place. And she started to get healthy. The church also had a lot of young adults, a lot of people about her age, and she started getting involved in those lives. They did like bowling together, and they'd go out to meals together, or they'd go on hikes together, and it was great. She started to feel a sense of acceptance, and it was a wonderful time in her life. And you know, even as she got emotionally healthy, she also was getting physically healthy. Being able to eat right, she hadn't done that for years, or sleep as much as she needed to each night in a safe place, or even have clothes that fit. And so, she cleaned up really fast and really well. She looked great. In fact, stunning. She was a very beautiful girl. She also got involved in a bunch of Bible studies. I mean, she went to Bible studies 4 nights a week, which is probably overkill. But for her, she just felt like she was a sponge. I mean, she hadn't been in church before in her life. She had never had the advantage of having Christian parents or anybody to kind of tell her about the ways of God. And so she just wanted it so much. And she was learning with every turn that she could. And so it was this one Tuesday night that she ended up in at a house with a bunch of other young adults at a Bible study, and the leader there was talking about how we can know God's leading and direction in life. And the leader talked about how we know God through the Bible, through the Word of God, where we see God's character and we see God's heart and we see how God thinks and works and acts, and how knowing the Bible is a foundation for knowing God's will for your life. And how, in addition to that, we get clarity about God's specific direction from godly counsel, from talking to people around us, people that know us and love us and can say what they see the Spirit doing in our life, or from the events in life of providence, of just seeing, of looking for ways that God has been directing your life up until this point, and how He opens up opportunities for us. And also how we know God's will just by times of prayer, that prayer isn't just about talking, it's also about being still and listening. Well, Erica was just eating all this up. It was so fascinating and so cool. And she thought, man, I hope I have a chance to apply this sometime really soon. She didn't have to wait long. The Bible study ended. And there were some plans being made to go off and have dessert somewhere. And that's when Tim walked up to her. Tim was, well, he was the guitar player in the worship band, and his dad was an elder at the church, and he was about Jessica's age, and he'd been watching Jessica all night long. So he walked up to Jessica. "Jessica," he said, "you know how we were praying earlier today about how God leads our life?" He says, "Well, as we were praying, I just had this picture in my mind. I've been thinking about it for a while, but I think it's from God. This picture in my mind of you and me together. And I just believe that God told me to tell you that we're supposed to be together. So, what do you say?" So Jessica, she started to feel nervous, and her creep alarm went off in her mind. And so Tim got a little closer, and he put his hand on her shoulder, and he said, "Maybe you could come back to my apartment and we could get to know each other a bit better. We could study the Bible together. And I know that you're pretty young as a Christian, and I could show you some of the things I've learned about following Jesus. So what do you say?" What would you say? Yeah, all the women there are like, "No, no, 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 no." Right? Because your creep alarms are way up, way high at this point, right? But here's the thing. This is the kind of stuff where faith meets real life. Because for many of us, one of the greatest areas of stress is in the arena of decision making. We hear all these great things like God has a plan for us. Like we've learned in church, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Wow, that's great. Proverbs 3, chapter verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will direct your path." Oh, that's great. God has a plan for me. Romans 12:2, "That do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." God has a plan for you. We hear this all the time. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you and you and you and you and you and you. And wouldn't it be great if you just knew what that plan was? Right? Like, God, could you just sort of lay it out for me, like maybe the five-year sketch, like a big roadmap. Like I took our oldest daughter to Seattle on Friday. We followed a map. We didn't know whether to take I-90 or Stevens. You know, we went kind of back and forth, but we decided to take I-90 because we had a map. We knew where we were going and we knew the ways to get there. Wouldn't it be great if God just showed us where to go so that we could go and get there? That'd be great. I'd love to have that. Like just maybe even 2 years. 2 years advanced planning straight from Jesus. I'd love to have that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hello? That's where we are. That's where we live. This is what we long for. And the bad news today is God promises he's got a plan for you. He doesn't promise to tell all of it to you. He never does. In fact, as I've been studying this, and I realized that today I'm going to have to talk kind of two great big concepts that are a bit of an overview of this issue of discernment and life discernment. We're actually going to do a series on this in the springtime, so if you go, "Gosh, you didn't answer everything," or "What about this?" We're probably going to cover that a little bit later. Just stick around. But I did want you to have an overview of these issues of discernment. One of the things that realized as we look at this question, how is God leading my life? I'm usually asking the wrong question. I'm asking the question, what do I do with my life? Isn't that what we're asking? God, would you just show me, what do I do with my life? I'd like a roadmap. I'd like it mapped. Just show me, what do I do with my life? I realized we're asking the wrong question. As honest as it is, and I ask that question far too often. You probably do too. The real question is, what do I do with Christ's life in me? Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 3. There's this verse just sort of puts it very plainly. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. And here's the biggie. For you died. You died. Turn to your neighbor and say, you died. That would explain the smell, right? You died. You're a dead man walking. You're a dead woman walking. You died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, let me stress that again, Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If you belong to Jesus, if you said, Jesus, take my life, well, he took it. And he put his Spirit inside of you. At that first moment of surrender, the Spirit of God came into your life. And in our, like our memory verse today, in Ephesians chapter 1, and especially verse 18, but 17 through 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. And where is that inheritance? In his people. There is something profoundly powerful, profoundly good living inside of you. Your life is not about you. As the Spirit of God came into you when you first trusted your heart to Jesus, God gave you a spiritual gift, a unique expression of the Spirit of God. That is the gift that God is giving to the world in you and through you. In you lives something that needs to come out, the Spirit of God. So the real question we need to ask is, what do I do with Christ's life in me? I wonder what it sounds like to God when we say the thing that we normally would say, Lord, what do I do with my life? What do I do with my life? Oh, says God, that life, the life that I bought and paid for with the life of my son, that life? That life that in your rebellion is dead and I brought back to life? With the body and blood of my son. That life? That's your life now. Oh. When you said, Jesus, come into my life, I give my life to you. Oh, I didn't realize it was just a loan. I'm being facetious here. I don't know how God would, I think he would probably speak more kindly to us than that. But isn't it weird? It's an honest question. God, what do I do with my life? But the truth is, it's the wrong question. It's not your life. It's not your life. It never was. What do I do with Christ's life in me. That's one thing we need to know. The second thing is, it's connected to that. And it's this, that clarity, or that obedience in the general leads to clarity in the specific. Obedience in the general leads to clarity in the specific. I'll explain that. There's this little diagram. I hope this will be helpful to you. When we look at the issue of God's will and what does God want for people, you can put it into two broad categories. God's general will, which, in other words, these are things that he wants for everybody. This is his will for you and you and you and you and you and you and everybody. He wants everybody to experience these things. He wants this for everybody. And we know that most clearly through the Bible. That's why the Bible is so important. Like on that little insert, if you have that inside your bulletin. This week I went through the New Testament and just, you know, any passage that said it is God's will that, or God, you know, God desires that, and where it's kind of talking about God's will, I recorded it and then tried to kind of summarize it. Like, there are things that the Bible tells us, this is what God wills for you. God wills that people be saved. God wills that people glorify Christ. That God wills that we be filled with the Spirit. God wills that we honor earthly authorities, that we give generously and graciously, that we joyfully pray and give thanks, and on, right? These are things that we know that God wills for us. And we know that through the Bible. We also know that through the church, because it's helpful having things like theologians and Bible teachers around, so that we have some sense of, you know, this is what the Bible said for people then. How does that apply to today? There's issues of history and context and all this stuff. But it all comes back to understanding the Bible, right? We know God's general will for us through the Bible. But for many of us, we're getting hung up on this issue of God's specific will. What does God will for me? What does God will for you? And the ways that we find discernment with that is through things like prayer, just seeking God and asking him to speak to us in times of silence and solitude, and just being available for God's leading. We find it through life events. You look at the circumstances of your life and how has God led you up to the past, and how might he be preparing you for something he's got for your future? You know, where is he opening up opportunities in your life? We look at life events. We also look at godly counsel. That's one of the reasons why you need Christian friends. You need some people in your home court that you can that know you and love you, and you can honestly say to them, what do you see God doing in me? This is what I'm sensing God's leading as. Will you pray with me about this and tell me what you see and what you hear? Because we need other people to hear clearly, because if the Spirit speaks to you, that same Spirit is going to be speaking to other people that ask him in the same way. I mean, God's not trying to play games with anybody. He speaks to his people. The inheritance, the gift is to his people corporately. So we need godly counsel. And here's the thing. For clarity in the specific will, the first step is obedience in the general will. Obedience in the general leads to clarity in the specific. Like, here's how this works. You might say, is it God's will that you serve somewhere? Well, what's the Bible say about that? Is it God's will that you serve? What do you think? Yes. Yes, it is God's will that you serve in some capacity somewhere, that your life is a blessing to others. Yes, that is God's will. We see that in the Bible. Yep. 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 So where do I start? You start where you start. You start where you are. You look for opportunities to serve, and as you serve, you say, Lord, give me clarity about where to serve. Lord, is this a place where I'm finding a sense of joy and peace and you know, those aspects of prayer? Is that where I'm supposed to be? You ask the people around you, are these things, are you seeing me gifted in serving in this way? You look at the circumstances. Has life been preparing me to serve in this way? Is God opening up opportunities for me to serve in this way? You look at all those other things, but you do that as you are serving. Obedience in the general leads to clarity in the specific. Because here's what sometimes happens. And it's really well-intentioned, and you know, we can even make it sound like really holy and pious and everything. It's great. Is you can say, wow. We can say, Lord, I am just waiting on you to tell me specifically and in detail where I am to serve. And until then, I am going to faithfully sit in my armchair watching ESPN, eating Doritos. I'm going to faithfully wait on your call. And when you speak to me clearly, God, I will serve you. Now, I made fun of it a little bit, but I mean, we can have that attitude. God, I'm just going to wait on you while doing nothing and being disobedient to the very things that I know clearly you want me to do. We play games. The other game we play the I'm the exception clause game. You ever seen that one? Where you go, okay, Lord, I see in your Bible that you say that we should forgive those who wrong us. But my case is the exception because you don't know how much I've been hurt. And you know, if I started to make steps of forgiveness towards this person, it would be really hard. So clearly, I am the exception to this. Again, I'm making fun of it. And if that's an issue you're struggling with, I'm not meaning to make light of it. But we play these games in our heart. If we're honest, we play these games in our heart. God, your specific will is something that's different than what you've already clearly stated as your general will. And that's not true. God's specific will for you is his general will, only more focused in a unique way that puts together your experiences, your passions, your talents, the thumbprint of God that is on your life. Obedience in the general leads to clarity in the specific. Now, I know I've given you a lot to think about today. These are two big ideas that probably shouldn't be mashed together in one sermon. But here's the question I do need to ask is what's the step for you? I mean, if we really got honest and told each other where we were today, we'd probably find ourselves agonizing over some of these life decisions. This is a significant source of stress for many of us. God, what do I do? What do I do? Maybe the first step to clarity in that, maybe for you, it's just asking a different question. God, maybe this isn't about me in my life. And maybe, though I wish I had a roadmap, I'm just going to trust that you're going to lead me. I'm going to trust that you're going to take me where I need to go as I abide in you daily. Maybe that's your step today. Or maybe there's an area in your life where you're saying, God, I just want you to show me what to do. And there's an area where, frankly, you've been disobedient. You know, you know in your gut, you know it in the Bible, you know that this is what God wants for you. Do it. Do it. Take a step of obedience and on the way, seek God for greater clarity. God has called you to serve. God has called you to connect. God has called you to worship. God has called you to be part of Christian community. And keep looking in, and maybe this list on here and the Bible verses will help you, and you'll probably find more if you look. Be obedient as best you can to what you know. And ask the Lord to make his specific will for you increasingly clear as you follow. What's your step to take today? What's your next step to take today, right now? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to kind of sing a song together about this. And then we're going to take up our morning offering and come to communion together. What step is God calling you to take today? What step of obedience in the general so you can find clarity in the specific? Lord, I pray for my friends. I pray for myself here, because these issues of how you're leading, this is where we live. And God, please forgive us. Please forgive me that I actually sometimes think I'm in control of this. I actually sometimes think this is my life. But thank you that you paid for my life. You love me so much that you bought my life. When I was driving my life off the tracks, you shed your blood and you redeemed me. And you put your spirit inside of me, as you have for my friends here today too. Lord, help us to ask that right question. Help us to be obedient in what we know and to seek you for clarity in the specific. And God, we thank you that it's not like pin the tail on the donkey where we're blindfolded and just sent off with directions. But you take us by the hand and you lead us to where we need to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.